Welcome to the 222 Paranormal Podcast, coming to you live from the very haunted Collingwood Arts Center. Scary.
Okay,
with
so
your hosts, Jen and Joe. This is me. That's Jen. That's Harold.
I'm your host. We have Harold.
That's Tramp.
Tramp. Black Swamp Paranormals Dean. In the house. On in Toledo. Togues. Toledo, Ohio Ghost Hunter Society. And with us, we have Harold St. John, the man, the myth, the legend.
Harold.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Hi. Good. So I just wanted to tell everybody before we get started that I was in the basement. And I saw a shadow figure, along with three other people, go across the floor, which was very scary. And then I had my spirit box, and I was playing it, and it said, "Don't be scared." At 9:30 or what? We have like 10:30 in the morning, and stuff's happening already. So you know, it's always incredible to be at this location because every time I come, whether it's small, or big, there's always activity.
I did. Now, Facebook Live a little earlier,
yeah,
and all the equipment was acting up. There was all kinds of ticking sounds, and pulling all the wires apart, trying to figure out what the noise is, and can't figure it out. No. It's this place. We're on the main stage where it's haunted
demons. Harold, you've investigated this place, correct?
Yes. And I was just asking you a minute ago if the stage was haunted,
yes.
And then right after I asked you that, you said something red. Yeah. It had flown by you.
Yeah, there was a red, I can't even describe it. It almost looked like a fuzzy, and that's why I was looking around to see if there was fuzzy. It just came right towards me. Now, one of the reports is that the nuns used to bring their toast and coffee up on the stage, and they would have breakfast up here. And they had peanut butter on their toast. And sometimes people will come up on the stage and say they can smell coffee and peanut butter.
Well, I smell sage.
Well,
been smelling sage all day.
We've been burning that stuff all day because you know how it is here. What draws you to this building, Harold?
There's something about the Collingwood Arts Center and the legends, the history, and the hauntings. I've witnessed in the past 4 years some remarkable things and some pretty, I would say, scary things. I don't want to label the Collingwood Arts Center as, you know, haunted by anything dark or negative, but Butch Leon and Uncle Jeff had experience here a couple of years ago down in the basement, which I found was really remarkable. A piece of a plywood or platform for a stage, it fell the opposite way. The thing probably weighed a couple hundred pounds and hit Butch and Uncle Jeff in the head. And then right after that, I witnessed something else from another group at the time, Chris Tillman's group, Pawn at Toledo, Jeff Schlachter. And the crew was down there and filmed some pretty incredible things. So, you know, I'm not sure if there's something dark here or not, but like you said, Jen, every time you go through this building and you're walking around with a digital recorder or any kind of equipment, it seems to be registering some type of paranormal activity. I myself personally have never witnessed or had anything negative or dark or bad happen to me, but there's a vibe to the building. There's there's an energy to this building, and it doesn't matter where you go. Now, I'm not going to lie to you. Sometimes when you're off on your own in some of the corridors or the hallways here, it's like I'm looking over my shoulder, and then I'm always asking myself, where's the rest of my crew?
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, I'm looking over at the table. Nobody's minding our vendor table because, I mean, they're obviously touring the Collingwood Arts Center again. So just a remarkable building, and I can never wait to get back.
You can't help but just wander the halls. It's so big here, and there's so many different hot spots, the basement, the sleeping quarters upstairs, the theater that we're in now, even the smaller children's theater, there's been activity in there for 20 years. So, you know, it's great because you could be wandering around and still be by yourself. You know, it's that big that, you know, you can fairly say that you can kind of be on your own a little bit.
Even if teams are in here and they do the investigations, if they're separated by a little bit, you can't hear them. You know, there's so many nooks and crannies in this building that, you know, and right on this, we were sitting, or one of the nights we were doing an investigation, I was sitting up in the balcony right behind us here, and pitch black, and I was actually watching lights go across the stage. And I was just talking to someone else, and they said they were doing the same thing last time they were here.
Isn't it funny how over the past, I don't know, 20, 30 years, a lot of the claims of the paranormal are all matching up with people that have been here 20 years ago, the same exact things.
Exactly.
Does it make you wonder if it's residual?
It could be.
I mean, you don't know for sure,
yeah,
but
who knows?
It's remarkable. The legends and the history in the all the tales of the paranormal and the haunted have been around for years and years in this place, and all the way back to the nuns and, you know, the body that they had found downstairs from the guy that lived here or something over a winter. It's a remarkable place, and you know, I agree, it's haunted. And
yeah,
guys like you and I, if they invite us out on a Saturday to a haunted location, most times we're coming. This is where
oh,
we're,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and, you know, a lot of the stuff that we've talked about on the show before has happened in this building, you know, with Grizzly Brown.
I remember that.
Yeah, that was during a convention.
You know, if Grizz is listening to this, first of all, get well. I'm glad to see you're starting to heal.
Yeah.
I have some audio and some video that Arizona Tramp from Black Swamp had asked me to record, and this is the first time I'm actually making this public. So you guys are the first to find out about this. Arizona Tramp did kind of an eviction. I don't want to say exorcist, but
yeah,
a cleansing on him because Grizz was struggling big time.
Mm-hmm.
We had him sitting in a chair, and they were using some sage and maybe some holy water and other things they were doing. But I had videotaped that whole thing. I've never shared it with anybody. I have it locked up. That should go back to Grizz and the experience that he had here. So I don't know why we talking about Grizz, but that being said,
a lot of the times that we've had stuff happen, he's been with us in this building.
Mm-hmm. He was making amends that night and apologizing for maybe some of the things, or if he offended any of the spirits here. I'm not too sure about any of that, but either way, it's about 10 or 15 minutes, and I videotaped the whole thing, and I've never shared it with anybody. I feel that belongs to Grizz.
Yeah.
So.
And he's not here yet. I hope he does show up
today. Yeah, we're really hoping he can make it out. So what's going on with the class? Are we going to do the class again this...
It's funny that you would bring
that. Is it going on now, or is it coming up?
It's funny that you would bring that up. Ghost Hunting 101 starts again this coming Thursday, October 3rd, and thank you for allowing me to give this a plug. Ghost Hunting 101 is, in my opinion, of course, I'm the instructor, so it's easy for me to say, but I truly believe it's a fun class.
Yeah.
It's 4 weeks, Thursday evening, 6 to 8. It ends up with a field trip to a legendary haunted location. I just saw Chad Dye and Don Collins from Fringe Paranormal, Chad Dye from Erie Shores Paranormal. We are going to, once again, Don has opened up his doors. We're going to have our field trip at the Haunted Main Street School in Bowling Green. The more we go back there, there's another place.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It seems like the hauntings are picking up. I heard that Kelly just saw a shadow figure as well go by down the hallway there.
Wow.
For the first time in 20 years, Becky was running a class during the investigation, had a group of students, four or five students in the gym.
Mm-hmm.
And Becky was sitting on the stage, and Becky had been touched the very first time ever. And, of course, you know how wonderful I am as an investigator. I never had the cameras rolling.
Yeah.
So I got it on audio, but I don't have it on video. To watch her reaction to that, I thought to myself, okay, listen, I trust Becky with my life. She's not going to claim anything paranormal unless something very dramatic happened. She was touched, and she swears to it. So we're going to take our field trip back down to the haunted South Main School in Bowling Green, and we are going to expose our students to all the entities, including the shadow figure.
Wow.
So
we were there one night and doing an investigation, and we were getting some crazy activity with the SLS camera. I actually had Don sit down in a chair, and we saw there's a ledge, and we saw a stick figure walking along that ledge, and we're like, sit with Don. There's a chair right next to him.
Isn't
sit
that
down.
Amazing?
And you could see the stick figure actually sit down on its shoulder.
Well, Dan, that we tried to hook up an SLS camera a couple of weeks ago when we were down there. Actually, I should say this. BCAN is filming some type of a show for cable. I was in studio last week. We're going down this Tuesday night to the South Main School to do a show with them. And I'm going to bring the SLS camera along with me because I've heard tales of that. Dan, our videographer, who's our skeptic, was up outside of classroom 11, I think is the number. And he's talking to some young girl, and he asks, well, what grade are you in? Class A EVP. I'm in third.
Oh, wow.
So pretty remarkable stuff. So we were talking about class. So it's three classes into the first class, Butch and I will be going over types of hauntings. There's many types of hauntings. We're going to touch on maybe a little bit of haunted objects as well, or trigger objects as well. But you know, this big interest in haunted objects is coming up, and I'm old school. I have a question. You know, if I was a coffee cup, why would I be haunted?
Yeah.
Why would I stay there? And here's the thing I was telling the guys earlier. If I was haunting an object, I don't think I'm going to stay there. If I was haunting my house, I'm the type of guy that when Becky and her new husband goes to the Virgin Islands in January, that's where I'm going. You know what I'm saying? So I'm going to travel about a little bit. So I don't think,
yeah.
all these hauntings at the Collingwood and all these hauntings at the South Main School, I have a question is why are they staying there?
Exactly.
You know, why aren't they going to Florida in the winter and so on and so forth? These are some of the questions that are going to be addressed.
Haunt a suitcase, and then you can travel the world, right?
These are just one of the many questions that we're going to address in class. But so we're going to go over types of hauntings. Becky's going to come in our class. We have some guest speakers and talk about case management, what it's like to take on a case and why would you take on a case. That I find really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Michelle will come up in our third class and talk about some do's and don'ts and safety protocol and address some of these darker entities that are very much out there. I mean, hauntings are very real. Sometimes they're not fun, as some of you out there probably already know. They can be quite upsetting. So we're going to address that. Listen, the bottom line is we're going to finish up this class on a field trip to a haunted location. You guys can hone the skills that maybe you have learned. I hope that you learn and find out what it's like yourself to be a paranormal investigator.
Yeah, and you really have to be careful where you go, what you do. And going to the class, you actually teach a lot of that stuff, how to protect yourself, how to prepare for the ghost hunt and everything. You know, people just seem to just think, well, I'm going to go in this location and I'm just going to walk in and start yelling and screaming.
Well, you can't watch the ghost shows and then go do what they do. You have to learn the right way to do it.
Well, I think there's a couple important things. A lot of this is simply respect.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't want to get caught for trespassing or breaking and entering, loitering, any of those things. So I think the first thing we need to learn is respect. And then there's just some simple things. It may sound silly to seasoned investigators like you or other groups, but you know, it all starts out with a flashlight, you know, first aid kit, some basic things, and, you know, then you get into some basic equipment. We're going to go over all this. I love going over the equipment part of it because the evolution of equipment is just is incredible. You ever hear the old story that you're driving down the road and you're on your way to Best Buy to buy this new computer, 1100? You go in and buy it. The Geek Squad helps you out, and it's great, man. You're driving home on your 1100 computer, and then you see the same billboard that they were doing on your way there. They got the guys up there and they're changing to the brand new 1200.
Yeah, right.
So, you know, ghost hunting equipment is kind of the same way. So we're going to spend some time on equipment. I think, you know, to me it's important that if you have certain types of hauntings, you want to have the proper equipment to better your possibility of capturing the paranormal. There's nothing better than capturing and documenting what you feel is the paranormal.
Yeah.
There's just so many things to go over, but they're simple things. Listen, I'm not a genius. Joe, you would be a great... I've often asked you to come out and talk to the class. You would be a great instructor.
I was thinking about actually coming to the class, but...
You should, Joe. It's very knowledgeable. Yeah. I went through it, so yeah, I learned a lot. You have to.
Here's the funny thing.
Do it.
I've learned just listening to Butch and Becky and Michelle and Dan and Jeff Schlachter comes out and helps us, and he goes over some of the do's and don'ts. And listen, there's a whole list of don'ts.
Oh, yeah.
And even a guy like me needs to hear these things. I need to hear them as well. So, you know, you're gonna have some projects. You're gonna go through a couple of classrooms, but it's gonna be worth it. It's a fun class. Everybody that's taken the Ghost Hunting 101 class, I still talk with today for the most part.
Yeah.
We're friends on Facebook. You know, we follow each other's families. I like this class. So if we can get through this 101, we're going to follow up with the 102 coming in November. Same thing, three classrooms and then a field trip. So we're going to get a little bit more in-depth. Michelle will go into some of the darker energies and how to protect ourselves.
How is Michelle doing? I haven't heard from her in a while.
She's doing well.
Yeah.
Our schedules have been, you know, very busy. But, Jen, I think, you know, a class like Michelle does is good for you. It's good for mm-hmm. me. We've all... Listen, if you are ghost hunting or paranormal investigating, eventually something's going to grab a hold of you. Eventually something's going to come out of the darkness. Eventually something's going to growl. Eventually you're going to encounter something that's a bit negative. And it's so easy for them to attach to you, to bring something home. And we've all mm-hmm. talked hours and hours and hours about how to protect ourselves. These are simple things that we can do. you know, my biggest concern is with Halloween time coming up, mm-hmm. is kids running through cemeteries or kids running through abandoned buildings. First of all, it's so unsafe physically. And plus, you can be arrested. But more importantly, when I
there's
was
that.
And I don't want to talk forever. But when I was 15 or 16, I never thought about this dark energy that everybody talked about can absolutely attach itself and go home with me. I never once gave that any thought. It was all full of laughs with my buddies, double dog daring people to do things. And lo and behold, I was in a cemetery one time when I was 15 years old, and I watched a girl get up, and a friend of mine got up and ran across the cemetery, tried to jump over the fence, and it was one of those wrought iron fences with the pokes on it. She not only stabbed herself in the leg, she broke her leg. From that day on, I always told myself, this just isn't right. We were trespassing. We were loitering. And we aggravated it. Something dark came out of that head. So to this day, I've never been back to that cemetery. I'm 60 years old. I was 15 at the time. I've never been back there. I always felt a seasoned veteran, paranormal investigator, it's waiting for me. He's waiting for me.
Yeah, because in their time.
Spilled blood.
Yeah.
You know?
There's no time on the other side.
No.
So 100 years to you could be 2 seconds to them, or right. Vice versa.
But you're sorry you asked me that question. I just spent 10 minutes talking about it. This isn't class. This is a radio show, for God's sake.
That's right. That's a podcast. And there goes Dan. Dan the man. Investigator,
but, yeah,
extraordinaire.
Lots of times, I even deal with going to conventions, talking to people, and there'll be people that come up to us and say, yeah, we broke into this building, and it was
we're
so
like,
cool.
No.
And, then, and we're like, don't do that.
Well, we had a case here in town where mm-hmm. some kids, young men, 16 years old, broke in. They were urban exploring, and he fell through the floor, and he died.
Yeah, I remember that.
I mean, it's very real.
Isn't that the one where the owner said if they would have just asked,
exactly.
he would have let them in there, and he would have let them in there safely.
Yes.
That's the sad thing. That's sad.
It is.
I mean, there's places that we go into, and we know are unsafe, and we know, don't walk there, walk there.
Spongy floors.
But you're going in, you're doing your investigation in the dark. You can't see mm-hmm. what the floor is doing in front of you.
Right.
You're trusting yourself that you're not going to step through a hole.
Well, that's why it's important to do your walkthrough beforehand, before you go dark, you know, like, know your surroundings.
Remind me. I don't need to remember. Sometime when you're talking to Butch, ask him about a case from the Athens Insane Asylum from almost 20 years ago when I was a hot rod yet, and I was bound and determined to capture some of this paranormal activity that everybody spoke about. And we were up on the third floor, I believe. It was dark. My flashlight had went out. I carried on, and I'm looking through the screen of a 2.5-inch screen on this camera, and I walked into this one room. Butch screamed at me because he had just went by there with his flashlight. There was no floor. If I'd have taken one more step, and you're talking about a guy who's been investigating for mm-hmm. a good number of years, I would have been down in the cellar from the third floor. The next thing Butch would have been doing was running down the cellar, not to see if I was alive, but to begin his EVP session. You know, trying to call back Harold.
Talk to Harold, yeah.
Right.
Harold, are you in the room?
Right.
Yeah, I'm laying right there.
I'm on the floor.
Pick me up off the floor.
Absolutely. So, anyways, it's a great convention today. I'm glad I'm here. I'm glad I'm sitting right next to you guys.
I know.
It's perfect.
It's amazing. We're up on the stage.
For people that don't know this, I randomly called Joe to ask questions or advice or just to say what's up. And sometimes I could just tell he's trying to get me off the phone. I'm just talking. I missed him. He don't ever miss me.
Every once in a while, I'll put the phone down and go do chores, and I'll come back, and I'll go, and put the phone back down.
That's awesome.
Last time we had you on, you were talking about your investigations in the Five Points.
Anything new
going on?
Listen,
I mean,
you know
what?
You
don't have to name spots.
No, I won't.
Oh, my God.
Here's the awesome thing.
Bigfoot's here.
Bigfoot just showed up.
Here's the awesome
thing.
Yeah,
buddy.
That case is finally gotten better.
Yeah.
And I can say his name now. Joe, you know what would be a great show sometime? Why don't we make arrangements for Ian to come on your show?
Let's do it.
I think, you know, when you and I had talked, I was able to tell you a little bit about the case with Ian's blessings. I bet you Ian would love to tell. There's been some more information. Cases sometimes are never closed.
Yeah.
I was talking to Ian the other day about the Maxwell house, the Maxwell haunting, and he had run across the guy that knew personally the person that we felt were haunting the house.
Oh, okay.
And got a lot of Just so much information he shared with about the guy's personality and things that he was going through. I had a friend of ours, Adam, from Spirit World Paranormal. I don't know if you guys know who that is or not.
No, I don't.
He plays a wonderful Native American flutist. Psychic medium.
For
the most part, I don't use psychics during investigations. Never have. Ian wanted this done, so I did it. I got a hold of Adam, and Adam gracefully didn't charge a penny. So freely of his time, come in and did a walk through the house, and I was just blown away by his accuracy. I don't know if I told you this, Joe. We walked through the house. Ian was glad he was there. There was the entities there that I had documented. There was a male figure. I call him the gatekeeper. He was kind of a bully.
Yeah.
The child was there still looking for his mom. More importantly, there was a woman there looking for her son. And there were some horrible hauntings going there. Molly had been shoved down the stairs, held down in bed, choked. It's just horrible. Even some of her own crew members were attacked. And so we're doing this house, and Adam felt that there should have been this mirror that should be out of the house. And it was just weird because he had asked where the mirror came from, and Ian's kind of looking at it and goes, well, I think that that's Molly's. Well, I talked to Molly. Molly says, I thought it was Ian's. Nobody knew where this mirror come from.
Oh, wow.
So lo and behold, it must have been there when they bought the house.
Yeah.
Adam had felt that this might be the source of this mirror. Now, I don't know that much about this stuff. I'm a documenter. I'm here to capture EVPs and things of that nature. But I believed him. And so Adam said, the mirror must go. I turned around to Jeff Schlachter from Boo Productions, and I said, well, listen, I'm going to take the mirror home because, you know, that's what I do.
Yeah.
And Adam said, I advise against it. So when I went to reach for the mirror slammed down, broke two of my fingers, Joe. Jeff had come to my aid. A metal bar fell off the thing and hit him in the head.
Oh, wow.
This thing is all true. Well, we finally disposed of the mirror properly. Adam had worked in the house. The house is quiet. The house has been quiet for a couple of months now. I really, truly think this is an amazing story. It's going to be in a book.
Yeah.
It's on Paranormal Survivor, for better or for worse.
And I have not had a chance to
see it. Don't worry about watching it. But I think that you should have Ian on your show to discuss this from beginning to end. Yeah. I think, Joe, you'd be intrigued. Mm-hmm. You can get the story firsthand.
Yeah, and I've never reached out to him or that because it's always been a private thing. But now that he's willing to
Joe, he thinks that now that it's over anyways,
yeah.
He thinks that this story should be told. There's just things that, listen, to how Ghost Hunters Society, myself included, have learned so much from this house, of taking so much information over a period of 8 years. I don't know if you remember, one time I spent 72 hours in the house alone.
Yeah, I remember
that. Jeff Schlachter and I did, taking turns going in, and the rest of my group, just a darker haunting. Joe, I'm not going to lie. There was times I was in the house by myself in the middle of the night, and I was scared to death. I was,
yeah.
It was that, you know, that what do they call that, fight or flight thing?
Yeah.
Primal fear.
Well, that's where flight came in.
Okay.
I mean, I just got out of the house as fast as I could. Yeah. You asked, the house is doing better. Mm-hmm. Ian's doing wonderful. Yeah. Things are better now.
Good.
That's amazing. Let's see, what else? Any, have you been on any, like, public investigations? Do you guys go out and do that for fun, or just don't have time,
no,
or what do you do?
I got a place that I'm not quite ready to disclose yet, but we've been there. It has a lot to do with gambling, a lot to do with the mafia, a lot to do with the Purple Gang.
Nice.
I want to be careful what I say here because I don't want to truly give it away, but we've been able to spend a few nights at this location. Joe, it's amazing.
Yeah.
Just the history alone, you know, Becky's a history buff, and I have grown a great appreciation for history, not just the legends and the hauntings, but the history of a place, and, you know, the murder and the corruption,
yeah,
and all the things that can happen in the gambling. Very intrigued. We've been working on that. Dan Kosmider has been, I've been busy doing a lot of other things as well, but Dan Kosmider has led a couple of our investigations here lately. He had a place out in Greytown last weekend that he worked on. We went to North Ridgeville a couple of weeks ago, the Century Tavern. That was kind of a public place. So it seems like we're always, you know, investigating somewhere. We still stand close to our roots. Private investigation is in trying to help people is what we try to do first and foremost. Those things we still can't talk about. But listen, the last 3 or 4 years, I love ghost hunting.
Yeah.
So I've been throwing myself into these public locations on top of the other things that we're doing. It's just keeping us busy. I'm exhausted. I'm sure you guys as well.
I am so exhausted.
Oh, sure. We're all
Joe
exhausted.
And I were like, you know, we're putting on this convention. So after that's over, we are
Jen,
we are.
I'm recording as many interviews as I can, so I have some weeks off.
Yeah, we just need to rest. Jen, if I could have like 7 hours of sleep in one setting, I would be so happy.
Jen, I've been home at night after work, and I'm in the recliner, and I'm trying to, you know, catch a Red Wing game or something. Phone a ring. I'll tell Becky, don't answer it, and then I get a text back. I have a ghost story. You got to hear this. Man, I'm back up out of the chair. I'm on the phone for an hour and a half. What am I doing? It's just, you know, Boo Production, Jeff Schlachter, I don't know if you guys know this or not, is a good friend of mine. He's a Ghost Hunting 101 student. Has made this wild discovery that he loves to play with video, and he loves to edit, and he loves to do all these things. So we're going to try to do some of these documentaries. So we're coming out with four of them. Wolfinger Cemetery, which is here locally. Obviously, the Savannah, Ohio story, which is an amazing story. It was something years ago. I got really lucky. I was able to investigate the old rebuilding. And from there, it just, you know, talk got out and people were sharing stories with him. And I was able to investigate most of the buildings from one end to the other, all the way down to Ace Hardware, where the murder of Olive Ward had actually taken place. Great people. Other paranormal groups have now picked up the same story and are working on it. But that's going to be on our documentaries. These are paranormal encounters, probably in the book as well. So Wolfinger Cemetery, the Savannah story. I'm going to bounce back with the Ghost of Gloucester, which is an old cabin sits in the woods at the foothills of the Appalachians, and what an amazing, scary story that is. And then the legendary haunted Moonville Tunnel.
Oh, so, I've got
never
to
been
out.
There.
I
have to go.
Keep looking at it. And now you've been there, obviously.
Yeah, dozens of times.
Now, is there a bike trail to ride out to it?
Yes, and now it's a horse trail. I think last year they're now doing haunted horse rides.
Oh,
it's
my kind of, God. That
so
would
it,
be amazing.
It's, well, the thing is, it's going to change a little bit now. You know, back in the day, this place was in the middle of the Zaleski State Forest.
Yeah.
You couldn't find the tunnel to your right on top of it. You had to be right out. So, and it has a dark side, too. We were up there one night with Butch, and Butch kind of got ill, and we had to get him out of there, and we had to cross the Raccoon Creek. And what some investigations are fun, some are scary, and some are just, are we going to get out of here alive? And it's not so much the paranormal, but trying to get Butch out of the middle of the Zaleski State Forest in the middle of the night.
Oh, no.
So a great place. I mean, these are four locations that Jeff Schlachter from Boo Productions takes. That Jeff is pushing me now. He's pushing me on the book. He's pushing me on these documentaries. He says, here, you got so much to say, so many things to share. I mean, people want to hear these stories, especially of you and Butch from years ago. So, is that Dan?
Yeah, he wants to get on the mic.
Dan Cosmire is here. Hey, you know what? If you guys want to talk, I'll say goodbye. Throw the mic.
Okay,
throw
come
it.
On.
No, you're not going to go listen to the speaker. You're going to talk to Joe. Dan Cosmire is here. He's my videographer. Dan is an awesome guy, Joe, Jen. He's doing a lot of our videotaping now. Matter of fact, they just ran across Frank.
And it all
Frank.
Started by you coming to the class, right?
Yeah. He's
get
a,
him over near the mic.
He's
get
a skeptic. Over. Come on, Dan, get over here.
Get over near the mic.
You hear me, right?
Yeah. They want to hear you. We were talking about, I don't know what we were talking about.
Well, how, you know, your interest in the paranormal, you came to the Ghost Hunting 101 and with your wife. And
Carmen, yes?
Yes. Oh, now you can hear us. Is that better? Okay, so you came to Ghost Hunting 101, and that's kind of where, you know, you met up with Harold and his team. And had you had an interest in the paranormal prior to that, or did the class, was that your first delve into it, or had you been doing it before that?
Yes, it was. Well, when I was younger, like high school, college age, me and my friends used to go out to old abandoned houses out in the middle of the country and, you know, around Halloween time and stuff. So I've always had a interest in it, you know, like scary movies and the ghost hunting shows and all that. And we started taking the classes in fall of 2017. I had a injury. I had torn my rotator cuff, so I was off work for a couple months. And I always wanted to go back to school and take classes, but because of my work schedule, I can't. So I told my wife, I'm like, hey, we got these Owens Community College brochures in the mail, and I saw the Ghost Hunt 101 class. I'm like, I got time off from work, let's check this out. So we went up and took the classes, and I just wanted to go to class. I was kind of scared to do any kind of lesson. It was actually my idea to take the classes,
right.
And Carmen's like, no, we're going to turn into ghost hunters. I'm like, no, I'm scared of all that stuff. So we got in there, and I don't know what it was about me. Harold seemed to like me for some reason, so they started inviting us around to go with them to different places.
With ponytail.
Yeah, must have been.
And now you've refinanced your house to buy all the buy more equipment.
Yeah.
Yeah, now it's been more than a full-time job. It's funny, too, because I hope work's not listening right now, but when we do investigations and I'm going through all my EVPs and, you know, going over our cases, I do most of that stuff at work because I work 12-hour shifts and I'm sitting in my work truck at work.
Yeah.
So you got 12 hours you can plow through EVPs then. You don't want to do it at home sitting on the couch. You, you know, fall asleep after 15 minutes.
Exactly. But, you know, what kind of surprised you when you started doing investigations? Like, what fascinated you? What surprised you? Like, what did you be like? What was your aha moment?
It was pretty early out of the gate. We weren't even on the team yet. Harold was working on the Sylvania mystery about return Jonathan Meigs Ward, and he invited us along, and we went into location there in Sylvania, downtown Sylvania, a restaurant that was pretty close to where everything had happened. We were doing an EVP session in the upstairs dining area, and I was sitting kind of close to, there was a door that ran along the restaurant to the back, real short, narrow doorway, and that doorway slammed shut real loud. I mean, it slammed shut. So we got up to look at it, and the guy that works there, he was with us, obviously, because it was after hours, and he said, I've never seen that door slam shut, and the thing latched open, locked real good. And I thought that was kind of weird, but when we got back home, I usually do the audio stuff, review, and Harold does the video. And Harold had me double-check this video. You can see down at the end of the hallway, right before the door slammed shut, there's this... It looks like a human silhouette that walks through the back of the hallway. It was like a three-second video clip. It walks sideways, turns around, full silhouette with like a light on the head. I mean, you can see the shoulders and everything, and then it turns sideways and through the wall.
Wow.
And then about 20 seconds later, that's when that door slammed shut.
That's
I'm like,
incredible.
Whoa, there's something to this. That's what kind of got me hooked from that moment.
I always tell Joe or whoever, it's like riding a roller coaster. Really, really scared, and you go up that hill, man, you're frightened, and then you go down that hill, and it's like, yes, let's do it again.
Yeah, and recently, this spring, I had a pair of headphones knocked off my, there's a house off
it's
my
Maxwell.
Head.
Maxwell, we've talked
Maxwell,
about it.
Maxwell, we talked about that one, all right. Yeah, I was in the house by myself, and I thought I had just bumped the wall, knocked the headphones off my head, but... My shoulders are kind of wide, you know. Your shoulders would have hit. And over the when we did the video review, yeah, you can see me clearly. My headphones go just like this.
Wow.
Sideways on my head. Somebody tapped them off.
It takes a lot of energy to do that.
Then later, later that night, something touched me in the leg, like somebody was patting me on my thigh when I had my back to the wall, which was kind of weird.
That is weird. That's incredible. You know. Where is your like dream place that you would love to investigate? If you had all the money in the world, where would you go to investigate?
Nagasaki's kind of creepy, but I'm sure you could pick something up there.
Yeah.
Island of the Dolls.
Oh yeah.
I think someplace like Ireland or Scotland, just because of the atmosphere.
Yeah.
I like them old movies. You know, I like atmosphere.
Yeah. And tell me, what's your partake of the atmosphere here at the Collingwood?
I like the atmosphere here. It's got that old, dark, creepy vibe.
Yeah.
Me and Carmen, actually, before we ever took the ghost hunting classes, came up here, and they had one of their Halloween ghost walks or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't run into nothing but just the atmosphere walking around the basement. I wouldn't have done it now, hindsight being 2020, knowing what's down in the basement now.
Yeah.
We've ran into that a few times.
Yeah.
So we'll have to go down later and check it out.
Of course.
All right, well, I'll give you back to Harold here.
Thanks.
We're going to go listen to a speaker.
All right.
Okay.
All right, take care.
All right. So anyways.
They have some great speakers here.
Oh, yeah.
Joe, Dan said he's going to listen to speakers. About what time is it? Is it Rebecca Smuck still on?
Yeah, 4:15 right now.
Oh, we're a little bit past that. Did you look at the list of speakers down here for today?
Yeah.
You had Haunted Toledo, Chris Tillman. Cheryl Lynn Carter, Paranormal Mysteries with Jason. Just some great speakers on today.
Incredible.
I haven't made it down there yet. I've just been up here visiting everybody.
That's it. And that's the problem when we come to these events is we never get to hear the speakers because we're always talking to people.
Yeah.
So one of these days, we're just going to go to an event.
Exactly. We're going just to go.
Well, before you throw me off the show, can I talk about this big conference that's coming up?
Yeah.
I'm like really geeked about that.
I know.
You know. We have all the ghost hunting classes and all the fun things we're doing. Joe, you know me very well. I'm a paranormal investigator. I'm a paranormal investigator every day of the week, and I'm a documenter. You know, I have to capture it on EVP on an audio recorder. I got to see it on video. If you can recreate it or debunk it in any way, it's not paranormal. And even Becky being touched at Bowling Green, since I did not have a video running, it's not paranormal. It was a personal experience. But there's one thing: if I could do this whole thing over again. If I could go back 40 years, I have this passion for Bigfoot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I have this belief in Bigfoot. Mm-hmm. I want to share something with you. Years ago, and you guys can throw me off here anytime you want, but you know when it's story time. This goes back, my oldest son, Nick, is 38. So I want to say he was probably 12 or 13. He was up there with his cousin, Josh, who's 39 or so now. So this goes back a few years. I have a cabin up in Sandusky Bay. Well, I did. That is surrounded in cornfields and woods, and it sits back a couple of miles off the main road. The kids were out, and I kept telling them at night, stay close to the cabin, stay close to the cabin. One night at about 11 o'clock, I didn't realize that they were out of the cabin again. They come running in the front door, just screaming, Joe, screaming. Nick was absolutely petrified. To this day, Josh and Nick will say, Dad, there's no way to explain this. They were screwing around in the backwoods, probably causing mischief. But either way, they said something stood up out of the cornfield. And this is probably August. So the corn is how tall? 5 or 6 feet, maybe?
Probably 6 feet, yeah.
It stood up, and it was a foot or two above the cornfield.
Holy crap.
Listen, Nick said all he could see was these glowing eyes and this dark shadow figure. But he could see it that it looked like it had fur on it. He said it growled. It made this dark bellowing screech, and they hightailed back for the cottage. It's a story that we often talked about. Joe, I spent all these years since, and I've run trap cameras and stuff up there at night in the backfields. I've never captured anything besides deer, you know, some coyote. I've always wanted to experience this. I believe that the possibility that there could be something out there, there could be something, this Bigfoot. This is like something, you know, a guy like me from Toledo, Ohio, I am so geeked up about your Toledo Bigfoot and paranormal. I called you. I said, I need a vendor table.
Yeah.
I don't really need a vendor table. I really don't sell anything besides a sage stick. I really have nothing to offer anybody out here. But it's given me an opportunity to be with a bunch of like-minded people.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Anybody that knows me, and I know there's a lot of skeptics out there, and there's probably people who are going to, well, probably people already say, Harold, you're a whack job, but probably more. I firmly believe, Joe, without a shadow of a doubt, that there's got to be something to this Bigfoot thing. Listen, you go to other parts of the country, they're finding new species all the time. A new gorilla was found just within 5 years ago. And they've been hearing rumors of this thing for 25 years, and nobody's ever witnessed it. You know, Joe
just found a new spotted leopard, too, that they thought was extinct over 100 years ago, was spotted. We had a gentleman here maybe an hour ago, right before we opened up, that just had a Bigfoot sighting up near Monroe.
You know, Joe, do you think you'd be petrified? What do you think our reaction would be if we were? I mean, you and I have talked about going out in September, going down to southeastern Ohio, where the legends of the Grassman are.
Yep.
There's been all kinds of witnesses. What would you do if you and I and a couple of other people were deep into the woods, into the Appalachian Mountains, and we heard?
Again?
Yeah, or we heard or seen something like this. I mean, would I run? I mean, you know, I know how I react with ghosts. I know how I react with paranormal. I want, before I am done with this whole thing on the paranormal and all these legends and mysteries of the world, I want to encounter a Bigfoot. I am so geeked up about this conference that you're having.
No, I tell myself that if I was ever to come across one, I wouldn't be one of them people that freak out or that yell or run or that, but you actually don't know what your response is going to be. I've heard so many people say different things like that from people that completely freeze up and can't move a muscle like they were in a trance to people that see the Bigfoot, and next thing they know, they're 20 miles away and they don't know how they got there.
The only thing I can remotely compare this to is being, let's see, here at the Collingwood's Art Center down in the basement, and it's dark, and then this, you know, 8-foot shadow figure stands up right before you. I mean, even as a seasoned paranormal investigator, your heart's going to begin to race.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I might turn in flight. I don't know what I would do. I mean, I would hope I wouldn't drop the camera or the recorder. I would hope I would be able to document it, but I'm not so sure. Another question I got, I want to ask, whose idea was this? Was it Joe trying
it
to convince
mutual.
You?
Yeah.
Was
it was
mutual?
Mutual.
We've been talking about doing something for a long time, and we were just like, well, let's do a conference.
Have you ever had an encounter, Jen?
Not with Bigfoot, no.
I mean, I know you've dealt with shadow figures and stuff. What would your reaction be?
Well, it depends because, you know, my personal feeling that Bigfoot is biological. I think it is an actual physical being.
A real animal or whatever.
And, you know, I think it would depend on the nature of the beast. There's, you know, just like if you see any of the great apes, there are some that are very aggressive. There are some that are mild-tempered and curious and probably would come over. You know, you've seen videos of people out in different situations, and wild animals will either come up and, you know, rub their head on them, or they'll roar at them or whatever. I think it just depends on the aggressiveness of the you know, the beast. So
one step towards me and I'm running.
Right. Like, Joe's fatter. They'll eat him first.
Well,
I'll
take
wait
a minute.
Off and
I'm
leave
the,
him.
Fatter than both you guys. I'm nothing but a pork chop.
Sorry, I didn't mean to call you fat, Joe.
That's funny.
That just came out. No, but, you know, I think it's just every situation is different. It's just like paranormal investigating. You could go in, and the rumor is, you know, grandma's just baking in the kitchen and they keep seeing her. And then you go in there and, you know, there's a demon standing behind you. So I think it's just it depends on the situation, you know, the demeanor of the Bigfoot.
You know what I think is beautiful about this whole thing? And I told you what I thought earlier. You know, you have these UFO conventions and, you know, these Bigfoot conventions and the paranormal conventions. There's a lot of people that have an amazing story to tell, that's had a life experience, like my son Nick and his cousin Josh, that have never come forward. Joe, I don't think you realize, having a convention like this, I wouldn't be surprised that day that people pay their admission because they have a story to tell they've never shared with anybody. I keep your mics open all day for sure.
Many, many, many conventions. And people have come up to us and they say, I've never told anybody this. And that's their first words out. I've never told anybody this.
You're
going to
have
this.
A day full of that, I bet.
I hope so. That would be amazing. And you know what? That's why we go to these conventions, and that's why we, you know, love being at them, because people can come and tell their story and not be judged.
Absolutely.
You know? Because people in their family are probably like, oh, there's old crazy Uncle Jack, and he saw a UFO, and then it came down and beamed him up, and they just don't believe it. Whereas you're coming to a convention where people have had personal experiences, they've had encounters, whether it's with an alien, a Bigfoot, a paranormal, seen a ghost, had something creepy follow them, they've seen a shadow. We understand that. We're in that realm, right? It's a place you can come and feel accepted and be open to share your story. And you can wear tinfoil on your head if you want to.
What do you think is wrong with people like you and I, where, you know, there's people out there that would be petrified of a UFO, would be petrified of Bigfoot. They have no way in shape or form want to go on a ghost hunt or even enter a haunted location. They're petrified of maybe experiencing something. What is it with people like us that would go out, we would spend tens of thousands of dollars, we would go out on these big missions, we would put ourselves
in the
out
in the dark for 8 hours
absolutely.
In a dusty attic.
Absolutely. Or listen, you know, 72-hour lockdowns or going into the Zaleski State Forest to spend 3 nights in the cold. What is it about people like us that would do all this for that one split second, that one very, very minute possibility that we may catch maybe some evidence of a Bigfoot or evidence of the pair. I think there's something wrong with us.
I'll tell you why this happens. Because it makes us feel alive.
That's true.
Yeah.
You feel alive when something like that, amazing like that happens.
Isn't it funny? You get through this all these years and you finally realize that, wait a minute, I owe the paranormal community, I owe the Bigfoot community, I owe them a big thank you.
Yeah.
I'm blessed. When I thought, you know, I was the king and the ruler, and I'm just blessed to be a part of this. I've kept you guys on way too long.
Oh, you're good.
You know,
I love it.
We talk about coincidence, and there's no such thing as coincidence. It's everything to do with paranormal or the universe. We mentioned about Adam a little earlier.
Yes, I love that man.
I just looked up behind you, and he was standing right behind you.
Do you think he's got recorders placed around us?
He might be.
This whole thing
but
is
he
not
just walked back out.
It's not.
He's walked out of the auditorium.
It's not paranormal anymore, Joe. It's paranoia.
That's true.
Adam is a great man.
He is.
But we want to thank you for coming back on.
Always welcome to stop by and tell us your ghostly tales.
I enjoy listening to you two.
Yeah,
and
so
thanks for bringing up the idea of getting the guy from the Maxwell House on. And I already forgot his name.
Yep, Ian. We'll talk more about it afterwards. I will place a call to him. And we'll set that up. Leave me out of it because you know how I can ruin a show and my mouth never shuts. I think we just need to get that addressed, and I think you need to do that. Only he can tell the story of what really happened in the wee hours, you know, in the bedrooms of that house and in on the stairwells. Nobody could tell that story like he was living it. And it's just, I think it'd be a great show. I wouldn't suggest Ian does this interview with anybody else but you and Jen.
Thanks.
I think you guys
awesome.
Will.
We're the best.
He's an intelligent man. He's a very sensitive man. I think you guys will love him, right?
So if anybody wants to get a hold of Harold, go to Toledo, Ohio Ghost Hunter Society on Facebook. They have a Facebook page. You also have a website, too, Harold. Tell everybody your website. So
www.toghs.org, togs.org.
Yep.
And if anybody wants to get a hold of Harold, I'll give you out his home or his cell phone number. You can call him at 3 in the morning.
Uh-huh.
No.
We're just kidding.
That's right. Just show up on my front door.
Yeah, just knock on his front door.
Yeah,
and
with
say,
snacks.
Yeah.
Do not take the Bigfoot out of my
just
garden.
Bring him coffee and snacks, and he'll be happy.
Yes.
But anyways, no, seriously, everybody, if you do need help or you're experiencing some issues at your house, Toledo, Ohio Ghost Hunters Society will help.
Yeah, okay. Well, thank you for coming out and speaking to us all the way down from 10 feet down.
Yeah,
from
your booth next.
Thanks, Joe and Jen.
All right.
It's always an honor to be on your show.
And let's play some Shadow of a Thin Man in Harold's honor by Dead in Five.